see everybody back here at 8. We're good. All right. All right. You guys are in the spit pit tonight. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to see y'all out tonight. And again, Brother Glenn is out. He's taking care of his wife tonight. So I am just wanted to share with you. I want to continue on our study in the book of Psalm and look at Psalm chapter 23 here tonight. And I love this psalm. It's again one of the most, I guess, familiar psalms in all the Bible. And just about anybody, whether they're a believer or not, would be familiar with the words of this psalm. It's quoted often at funerals, and a lot of people claim these scriptures. And it's a comforting scripture. It appeals to us because we all are like sheep, and we desire to have a shepherd. And let me find my spot here. But let's go ahead and let's read this psalm here tonight. And all right, take two. All right, the Bible says, in Psalm 23, verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And last time we were together on a Wednesday night, we looked at the truth that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That means the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And phrase we want to focus on here this evening is, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Try to get down here without this thing going crazy. Okay. So far, so good. There we go. And as we look at our text here tonight, I just want you to see several things. he makes us lie down in green pastures. Now, in order for us to be able to lie down in green pastures, there's four things that have to be true. Because of the nature of sheep, you can't force sheep to lie down. They will not lie down unless there's these four elements are met. And we are very similar to sheep. We're the same way. But they will not lie down unless they are free from fear. They will not lie down unless they're free from friction. They will not lie down unless they're free from parasites or pests. And they will not lie down unless they are free from hunger. Now, I get a lot of study from this passage. I've learned from a preacher named Philip Keller, and he wrote a book on this. He was a shepherd, and he was a preacher, but he lived in East Africa, and he's had his whole life just he worked. And the book's called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. I really encourage you to read it. It's a great read. I've read it a couple times. He makes a statement that these are the four that a sheep, and I think as we dive into this and unpack this, I think we'll all agree these elements are only things that can be provided for sheep by the shepherd. He's the only one that can take care of these things. The sheep cannot provide these things for themselves. And so, see the shepherd lie down. And it's not just one sheep. Sheep tend to have a strong influence on other sheep. And, you know, when you have a flock that, or it may be a flock that's restless, they're agitated, you know, they're just discontent. That flock of sheep does not do well. And so when one sheep gets startled by a dog or, you know, an animal or something, it starts running out of fright, there'll be a dozen other sheep that'll run with that sheep, and they don't even really know what they're talking about. They just know that something startled somebody, and this is true with other animals. I mean, I think mostly of deer, because I like to deer hunt, and I think, you know, you get one deer that gets startled, all of them take off. Or if you are turkey hunting, man, if one hen gets spooked, they're all gone. That's just the way they are. And so, but sheep, they're startled at the least little thing. And really, as sheep, they have no defense. Their main defense is to run and just to withdraw, and that's their primary defense. And sheep are easy prey for. They're easy prey for dogs. They're easy prey for wolves. I mean, they're the number one killer of sheep. A dog can get in there and just wreak havoc on a flock of sheep. And so you have to really pay attention to your sheep. But nothing really calms a sheep more than seeing the shepherd appear in the field. And a sheep can be restless, scared, agitated. But when that shepherd walks out there, that calms the sheep. And so that's a wonderful thing. And so we see here that sheep, they must be free from fear. The Bible says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There's nothing better in our life than when the good shepherd is close by. When you draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to you. And you can be scared in your life. There's a lot of things we can become fearful of. And when we get close to the Lord, He can dispel those fears. It's just amazing how that is. And he makes us to lie down. And so in our life, there's plenty of hazards that bombard us. Some of these hazards we know, and they cause fear. And a lot of the things we don't know. And those are probably the things that we fear the most is the unknown. You can just drive yourself insane with hypotheticals, can't you? You know, what if this happened? What if this happened? I have to have this. I better get an insurance policy for that, and an insurance policy for that insurance policy. You know, and you can just go on and on and on with hypotheticals and things that can happen, and nothing wrong with planning. But you know, you can go crazy. You know, in this last pandemic, we've seen fear grip our whole world, and there's some cautionary measures I think was wise to take, but there was a lot of fear just driving things. But you know, it's wonderful that we can know Jesus is there, the good shepherd. And when we focus on that truth that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he's there, that changes everything. Okay? That brings us from fear to peace. That brings us from a feeling of doom to a reality of hope that's in Christ. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. He just puts a peace, and that's the work of a good shepherd. He gives us peace. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, "The Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." So the idea here of having a sound mind is one that is terrorized by fear. What is it that you fear? I'd say if we went around the room and we were honest, all of us have fears. Okay, these are things that maybe keep us up at night, or things that make us a bit easy. And you know, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, He wants you to be at ease. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to lie down in the green pasture and just rest in Him. And that's a wonderful thing. And when we have our focus on the Lord, you can look at this application all through Scripture. We had a really good devotion the other night at our Iron Sharpeneth Iron meeting, and we looked at the devotion in Mark chapter 6 of when the disciples were out in the ocean or in the Sea of Galilee, and the storm and the winds and the sea was raging, and Jesus he began to come close, okay, and he was praying for them, and then he began to speak, that peace over them, and then when he got closer to them, the wind, the Bible says, when he got close, it ceased. And so that's the way it is in our life. when we have fears, if we draw nigh to God, draw nigh to the Good Shepherd, we're put at peace in the green pastures and rest and find rest for our souls. So that's just a wonderful truth. And then the second element that sheep must have is they must be free of friction or tension. When you look at groups of animals, every group of animal has a societal order. Okay, they have with chickens. I know some of y'all have chickens. Chickens, you call it a pecking order, right? And if you watch your chickens long enough, you can kind of tell who's the dominant one and how they go. And like if you look at cattle, there's a pointing order. You know, in a turkeys, there's a dominant tom in the flock. There's a hen, and they will fight each other. Horses are like that. If you watch if you ever get around a bunch of horses, and they're, you know, that one of them's dominant. With sheep, you call it a budding order, and so a lot of times a dominant ewe will clear other ewes or lambs away from maybe the best feeding spot or the best resting spot, and she's going to assert herself, and that's her. She's protective of that. The rams will butt, and they'll just, you know, they'll go after each other, and they'll establish a dominance. And so you can see that with any animals. Dogs, you might have the sweetest dog in the world, but you put down some food with that dog with another dog, and you watch your sweet little dog. They'll just turn ferocious. And when it gets like that, you either fight or you back down. That's just the way it works. And so you see that with people. Anytime you have people together, you're going to see that right up. But you don't see it when the Good Shepherd's close. And that's what's awesome. That's what's awesome about the church, where Christ is preeminent. Just really diverse personalities and different things, and it works, you know. When Christ, when it's like precious faith in Christ. And you see, if you have a chapter in Ezekiel 34, there's problems. The sheep are scattering. The sheep are not, the flock is not doing well. And the problem in Ezekiel 34, the prophet is prophesying and he's warning the shepherds of Israel. He's saying, you guys are not good shepherds. You're not doing your job right. And when you do not have a good shepherd, this, you're going to have big problems with the flock. Okay, there's going to be conflict. When you have conflict flock, it can be devastating. It can really affect the health of the entire flock. The best thing, you've seen this at work. If you have a toxic work culture, you have extremely high rates of burnout and turnover. I mean, and that's where you go. If you ever maybe church where you have that, you just have that. Man, it's just there's tension, and that's something we definitely pray and we beg God and just put a head and protect from that. And the devil is always seeking to sow discord. And so, but if you have that, and you know, the best way to combat that tension is the presence of the shepherd. When you have sheep that are, you know, going at it with each other, the shepherd comes into the picture. It's sheep will just calm down, and they'll focus on the shepherd. The shepherd loves them. And when they focus on the shepherd, it's almost like status is forgotten. They don't really care about that anymore. And that's the way it is with Christ, okay? When you get around people, it's your natural tendency, your flesh. I don't care if you're at work or at home or at church or wherever you're at with your friends. It's just you just go through that. There's rivalries that form, competition, whatever status. But when Christ is preeminent, okay, the Bible says that whether we be Jew, Greek or Jew or bond or free, Christ is all and in all. You know, it's all about him. He is preeminent. And so when Christ is, that stops. Okay, there's peace that comes into a place. Without Christ in the midst, without him as being the focus, then we tend to butt heads for and ill will and rivalry throughout the flock. And in our psalm here, we see that the sheep, they're lying down, and they have great contentment. And they're just there's just a happy flock. They're just lying down in green pastures. And that's a wonderful thing to see at a church, to see, you know, your families at peace. And, you know, you can see that in families. You see families at war with each other. But if you put Christ in the center, and Christ is preeminent, and he's the focus, you can have peace. And it's a wonderful thing. And so, you know, that's what we should strive for as children of God, is to have that contentment in Christ. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. The Apostle Paul, he says, you know, I've learned this, whatsoever state I am, there will be. So if you learn that, just to stay content in Christ and keep your focus upon Christ, that will help you. That'll help you at church. That'll help you not only at church, but at work, in your family, with your friends. You know, Christ, he spoke about this in the Gospels. He made statements such as the first shall be last. Christ, as much he esteems people who will live by faith and in humility. The former said that when he says the last shall be first, the first being those his affection. You know, the good shepherd. Think about how the Lord is. The Lord has great compassion. Those weaker. And so Christ will, you know, he will resist a proud sheep that bully a weaker sheep. He'll resist a proud sheep that to assert itself within dominance, within its flock. But he gives grace and he gives favor to those that seek to help and to live a life of humility and not trying to do that. So, you know, oftentimes a shepherd, when you're dealing with sheep, a shepherd will have to discipline a sheep that is maybe hurting a weaker sheep. And so, you know, when you got a flock, you think about this too. Usually, the least aggressive sheep is tends to be the most content and happy sheep. They're not trying to vie for any position. They're just happy with whatever, you know. And so, you know, more than anything, though, it's the presence of the shepherd that will put an end to the rivalry. And so anytime you have people in one place, you're going to have a rivalry, and you'll have tensions that tend to creep in. And so, you know, again, how do you combat this? How do you protect against this? I pray for regularly with my family, with our church. Well, you make much of the shepherd. You make him. He is preeminent. Your focus is upon him. You keep a close relationship with the shepherd. That's going to help your friendships. You keep a close relationship with the shepherd, and when you do that, you're at ease. You can relax. You're at peace. You have that joy. This only happens though when our eyes are stay focused on the shepherd and not on those around us. And that's what we tend to do. We tend to start looking at everybody around us. We start to look at this person over there and look, what do they got? And you know, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses or whatever. You know, you know, why? How come they get to do this and I don't get to? You know, you stop looking at other people and look at Christ. Remember this: the Bible says in the Psalmist is that the Lord is the one. He is promoting the east to the west from the north south. But it is God. He lifts up one and puts down another. God will put you where he's going to put you. He will. He's the one, and God is the one that's going to judge your position. And God is the one, his opinion is the only one that matters. Man's opinion doesn't really, you know, I mean, we have a reputation of chosen great riches, but really man's opinion, other than that, man's opinion doesn't really matter. It's not final. It's not always right. You know, And that's what we want to. And so abiding Christ is the goal. And I don't care as much when my relationship's right with Christ, when I'm focused on the Good Shepherd, I really could care less what other people think about me. You know, I mean, the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. You'll trap yourself. There comes discontent and unhappiness with that. But when you have a right relationship with Christ, then you don't have that. You don't worry about that. You don't worry about where you are in the pecking order. You're just content. You lie down. You lie down in the green pasture, and you're very happy. You know. And so, I'd rather have the affection and the care than to have a place of prominence amongst other sheep, especially if that prominence comes by me having to, just fight and assert myself and quarreling. The Bible says in Matthew, blessed for they shall obtain mercy. And so we keep our eyes focused upon Christ. That gives us humility, that gives us grace, and that helps us to be gracious and merciful with other people around. And so this is a key thing. If we're going to be able to lie down, and that's a wonderful thing when you can have that in your life. And then the third thing we'll look at here is freedom from parasite and pest. So there's a lot of things that can. Has anybody here ever had sheep by chance? Anybody? I never have. Wanted to sheep, but I don't know if I'll ever do that. But call them down at the auction, Brother Gene. We can go down there. So. Maybe we have like a church, put a little fence out there. I don't know. Maybe we could be a group project. We can learn together. Help us with this study in Psalm 23. All right, but say they suffer from different types of flies. There's all kind of flies. There's ticks. There's nasal flies, warble flies, and ticks. Now, these things will absolutely torment a sheep. They drive them nuts. And these parasites and pests are on the sheep. They find it very difficult to be able to lie down in green pasture. They can't rest. They have no. They're not happy. And the sheep, they say, will shake their head. They'll rub their heads on the ground. Sometimes if a nasal fly gets, they'll actually invade the nasal tissues and get in their brain and drive them crazy. And they'll beat their head against a tree or something. And so a good shepherd will have a close eye on the sheep and will always be looking out for these type of pests. That's what a good shepherd will do. A good shepherd will, to treat these pests when they do get on the sheep, we'll put a special medicated ointment to kill these flies and the larvae. They lay larvae and it gets in the tissues and stuff. So they will try to put this special medicated ointment on the sheep to rid the sheep of these pests and parasites. And so, for that to happen, a good shepherd has to have a watchful eye on the sheep, has to be with them every day, keep a very close eye on. There's a good lessons in this psalm for being a pastor. You know, there's one verse that says in Proverbs talks about no state of thy flock. And I appreciate it when you guys call and tell me you're not going to be here, things like that. And Brother Stanley, he called me tonight and told me, he said, I'm sorry, I can't be there tonight. I really appreciate that, because if he's not here, I'm wondering, where's he at? You want to know the state of your flock, and that's the heart of a pastor. It does. Your pastor, if you're not here, your pastor misses you, and you know that. So I appreciate that. But a good shepherd, you want to watch the sheep, and so medication is going to take time. It's going to take labor. It's going to take some expensive medications. The sheep a lot. So a good shepherd will want his sheep to be content, happy, and at peace. And so I know as a pastor, as an under-shepherd, that's my joy. I just pray that you guys will be at peace and that the Lord will be working in your life. And I know your relationship's right with God, and you draw and we lead in the right direction, that you're gonna have a lot of trials and problems. I know that's going to happen, but you're going to have a peace. You're going to have a joy, and you're going to. And so that's my prayer. Christians, many pests. All right. Flies and all these different type bot flies and warble flies. A lot of times these will come in the form of other people. You know, you have is there a remedy for this? What do we do? Is there a remedy? And there is a remedy. Yes, there is. And so you just as the good shepherd puts an ointment, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit in the Bible is often symbolized as oil, isn't he? And so the Holy Spirit is gracious, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're under the Holy Spirit, there's what comes with that? Comfort. He's the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. So he brings us comfort, and he brings us peace. And the Holy Spirit, he uplifts the name of Christ. Us to the presence of Christ. And so when I've got a problem in my life, when I've got a test, it comes either in a circumstances or maybe a difficult person or a situation, the right thing for me to do is to yield to the Holy Spirit of God and just submit to the Holy Spirit of God. And he comes and he comforts me. And he applies that the oil of the Holy Spirit. And he's in that soothing, healing salve and takes care of my problem. And that's just a wonderful truth. So the thing is in this life, there's lots of parables and things that we have to deal with. But believe it. Jesus said, "I'm not going to let you comfort. Send you another comforter," and that's the Holy Spirit. And we have that as believers. And the Holy Spirit gives us to live in a world with pests and parasites. It allows us to just go through that and know that it's going to be okay. Down in green pastures. And so that's just a wonderful truth we see here. And then the fourth thing that's got to be evident, if you're going to lie down in green pastures, the sheep must be free from hunger. It's really clearly implied in the statement in this verse, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures." So what does sheep eat? They eat pasture, right? And so this is what I did at least a couple of times. And as I've ever been, and I honestly, a couple of times, it's very dry and arid climate. But a lot of times, these type places are very climates where sheep. And Jordan was very dry and arid, but there was shepherds, there was Bedouins everywhere with sheep. You can go off the exit on an interstate, and just like in that little circle, there's somebody herding sheep. I mean, it's just sheep all over the place. And green pastures, they don't just happen by chance in these areas especially, but a green pasture takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of preparation. It takes clearing land. You know, in the mountains we call it grubbing. You know, clearing out land. And but you gotta clear the land. You gotta manage land. You gotta prepare the soil. You gotta sow seed, you know, to make a good pasture. A seed's gotta be watered. There's a lot of work that goes in that. Now that is all the work of a diligent pasture. Is an absolute necessity for a sheep to have adequate milk flow and be able to be healthy and then feed her lambs. And so there's really no good substitute. So all sheep, after they fed on a green pasture, they'll lie down. They'll lie down in contentment, and they'll ruminate, and they'll digest their food. They're just happy, and they'll just, you know, lay there, whatever sheep do. Is that right? Bleat? They bleat or bah. But they what? Yeah, bleat, right. So the key job of the shepherd is again, to develop the land and sustain the flock for the sheep. So if you have a good, they say if you have, I'm talking like I know this because I don't have a sheep, but maybe one day we'll have some sheep. But they say A good pasture will help a lamb reach 100 pounds in 100 days. That's pretty awesome. So without good pasture, it's really impossible to do that. So sheep that are well fed, they're gonna lie down. But without the right nourishment, if the sheep doesn't have a good pasture, they don't have the right nourishment. Sheep are constantly restless. They're restless. They're constantly foraging for nutrients. They're just not going to rest. They're going to look for something for nutrients. And the overall sheep are going to be very poor. And you're going to be able to tell these sheep are not well fed. And so in the Old Testament, we look at the Promised Land, all right? What was it that was the Bible said about the Promised Land? When God says, you know, I want you to go, Moses, I want you to take your children of Israel here, Joshua. It was a land flowing with what? Milk. All right. So, in agriculture, when you speak in terms of milk flow and honey flow, and when you say that, this is what it means. Spring and summer, when pastures are at productive stages, the livestock like cattle that feeds upon that grass, they're going to have the milk best. They're going to produce the most milk when they have a really good pasture that's at its peak production. That is milk flow. When you talk about flowing with honey, you talk about honey flow. The bees that utilize pollen, when the pasture's doing and wildflowers, and there's plenty of pollen for the and all that, you know. Honey flow, honey production is going to be optimal. That's on the time of the year. So that's milk and honey flow. And so the pastures that are healthy with flowers and blossoms and pasture that have a corresponding flow of milk and honey. So a land flowing with milk and honey is a land with green pastures. And so the application here, the Promised Land, the Old Testament, for the New Testament Christian, the promise, that's a picture. When you cross over Jordan, it's not really a picture of death. That's really, when you go into the Promised Land, that's a picture of a victorious Christian living. That's a picture of a Spirit-filled life. That's where you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to live in the promise. He wants you to have a victorious life. And so we want to have a victorious. Now, the only way that's going to happen is having a spirit-filled life, have a victorious life. That happens by staying, again, close to the watchful eye and care of the shepherd. And we want to continually feed up on the Word of God. And so we're promised this type of life. We're promised that we can have this life. It's made possible by Christ. And Christ, he works around us to the rocks of unbelief. He us to take away the roots of bitterness, and he sows out the seed of his word, rich pasture, and it's all possible because of the good shepherd. Isn't that good? The Lord is my shepherd, and he that's just a wonderful thing to be able to say. He's a good shepherd, and you know his concern and his care over you is really beyond our comprehension. But when we can see that Christ is all we need. The focus. He's the one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his right, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you draw close to him, and he's got a good pasture, a green pasture prepared for you, and he's going to not only put you in it, but you're going to be able to just lie down in it and just be at peace no matter what's going on around you. The good shepherd's there. And so that's the first thing we learn here is the Lord is my and I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not need anything, and he makes us lie down in green pasture. So I trust you, that's encouragement to you tonight. Oftentimes we don't do that, do we? We tend to try to go out and graze on the barren grounds of this world around us. But when we see the goodness of the Lord, we realize the error of our ways, and it's good that we can come back to God, and he draws nigh to us. So I trust that was help to you tonight, and we'll continue on next time I have a Wednesday night. Still waters. There's a great, I love this passage. I really do. One of my favorite is verse 5. But anyway, we'll stop right there. We don't want to be right. you guys might be like the guy in Acts that fell out the window or something. He fell asleep. But before we close out here, I just wonder if anybody might have a prayer request or something. That's right.